We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. The whole four of us, the boys in the house tonight. Avs win 4-2 over Vancouver in Vancouver. Excuse me. In a bit of a wild game.
Still going for Rudolph.
I don't know. It's a gassy night, I guess. I don't know. Dr. Dubs is in the house, in fact. Yes, he's going to have to treat whatever I got going on. But this was a kind of a weird game.
Yeah.
It certainly did not have much flow to it. I think we all remarked that it felt like this game took forever to play out.
Yeah. I got to be at the airport to like fucking.
Yeah, you got
to
go.
Really could have used a little of them like speeding it up a bit.
I mean, let's just start with the first period. Obviously, the Avs looked very solid through the first. You don't really have too many complaints there. It finally seems like even the first unit starting to find itself on the power play a little bit.
Yep. What can't be carried by the second unit all season, yeah. Right, Adrian? Yeah.
Too true.
What do you make of the power play here tonight, though? Because they did have the goal on the first one. They end up getting a big one later in the game, too, which we'll get to.
They ended up getting all of them.
What?
They ended up getting all of them. They had three power play goals.
Sure, but they also had a struggle of a what ended up being a 4-on-3 in the second period.
2 4-on-3s this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Scored on one of them, didn't on the other.
So no complaints?
Nope.
All right.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, this is, especially without MacKinnon, if you're going at this clip.
Yeah, if you go 3 for 5, you're going to be.
Well, not like this exact. Yeah, that's
gonna
that's
win,
obviously.
You're going to win a shitload of hockey games.
Got a little lucky, too, with the broken stick on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, twice.
Yeah.
That definitely helps out. First two power play goals. The Canucks
the one
had
a,
for the,
yep.
They each had a broken stick.
And the first Canucks goal, also broken stick from Ryan Murray.
Yep.
Bad night for sticks.
Yeah. And ones on guys' backs.
Yeah. I was like, can we just jump straight to that? Because that was what the first chat was about.
All right.
I mean,
fine.
honestly, I just we talked about it here for about 5 minutes. If you are Quinn Hughes, we talked about him in the pregame, saying, look, I never really put him in the same tier as Makar. He's just not that same type of player. He's very skilled. He's a great skater. He literally just cost his team a game. And he might have just cost his coach a job.
There you go.
They fire Travis Green tonight or tomorrow morning.
That's on Quinn Hughes' head.
Travis Green should go out and just blow up Quinn Hughes.
Yeah. I mean he's the lone man low chasing a puck, and he got absolutely drilled by Sam Girard. Clean hit behind the net.
Yep.
And you could tell by the way he laid there that he was pissed.
Yep.
And he gets up and goes, 170 feet, and breaks his stick over Sam Girard.
Well, it's just in a 2-2 game in the third period.
In a game that your team has have.
Yeah. Also, keep in mind, they had just
tied it up.
Given up the tying goal. Yeah. After having taken the lead in the first minute of the third. All the goodwill that they were earning.
Gone.
All the good work that they had done. Everything that they did that they could feel good about themselves. They'd given it back. All right, now it's back to 2-2. It's third period. Somebody's got to make a play, right? And you just decide, I'm just going to skate.
Crunch and earn.
The length of the ice to break my stick over this guy's back. No matter, ignores the puck. Ignores everything. And just cross-checked Sam Girard, and it was like, Worth? Do you feel better? Did you send that message, it's a tough guy?
Right.
It's a very selfish play, and when Torts comes in and is the head coach there, he's going to be in the doghouse. He's going to be benched.
Torts and makeover last time? There's no way that's happening again.
That's true.
No, what Vancouver will do is that they will fire Travis Green, and then they will wait all offseason to name a coach. And then they will give Q his rehab tour next
year. There it is, yep.
You think it'll be him?
That's my guess.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of... Really, the name that I'm keeping an eye on is Jim Montgomery. It's only a matter of time till he's back behind a bench.
Yeah, no, but anyway. I just thought the Quinn Hughes thing was so weird, and you could just tell that entire game the Vancouver Canucks were looking for a reason to pack it in. They were looking for a reason to give up, and they got a bunch of jump there in that second period.
Yeah.
And the minute they gave up that tying goal... You could see it in their body language. Quinn Hughes didn't even look upset by that penalty that he took. He looked like he knew he was taking it, and he just went straight to the box. Looked like he really did not care. And I don't know about you guys, but it was a one-goal game up until 10 seconds left, but I never really...
Nah, they got that third goal lead. They're the third goal, and it was okay.
Well, and there wasn't an abundance of dangerous chances. It wasn't they... Yeah.
Talking about after the Avs took the lead back.
After they got the lead, after they were up 3-2, it wasn't like Vancouver pushed. They had possession in the final minute and a half.
But it was perimeter-based, and the Avs were getting sticks on pucks. And
yeah, it wasn't... It just was not...
It wasn't
much.
Anything like the second period.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I do also want to say that, again, we talked about in the pregame, having confidence in the guy behind you. Darcy Kuemper was phenomenal tonight, and... kept them in it when they could have gotten behind by one or two there in the second. He kept them in it. He kept it at 1-1. He made the saves he needed to make. That stop on the blocker save on the 2-on-1 is, that'll be on saves of the week, saves of the month.
That's such an enormous.
Huge. Yep.
Keeps them from being down 2-1 going into the third or worse.
Right.
Because there was a ton of time left. They'd just gotten the tying goal, and if things broke down, it was a great save. And
yeah.
I wanted to be mad at him for that first goal, but every time I watch that replay, it's such a slick little pass on the back.
Yeah,
door
no, it's, just, it's a great pass.
And there's so...
God, that's good.
As with every goal in hockey, it's not like there was one mistake that led up to this goal. It's here's four different things that it's
And if you're Darcy Kuemper, of course you're squaring up to the guy that is...
4 feet in front,
18 inches away from you with the puck. You're not worrying about this guy making a dope little backdoor backhanded blind pass to space where Connor Garland just goes and gets it, you're not worrying about that. You're worrying about this dude is right. You're squared up to him. And then I wanted to be mad at him. And I was just like, man, that's just such a nice play.
You could be mad at him for the start of it where him and Girard get wires crossed.
Yeah. Well, and that's at this point, a lot of this stuff should be working itself out.
Yeah.
And we saw this was a big step back for Sam Girard overall.
Yep.
Where I thought Girard and EJ were
pretty rough
around the edges tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought EJ was a little bit worse.
Oh, I thought Eric Johnson was the worst player in the whole game.
Yeah.
And that was until Quinn Hughes. until Quinn Hughes takes the dumb penalty and then gets stripped for the empty net goal in the last gasp at the end there.
That was Quinn Hughes?
Yeah. So I'm EJ, I thought EJ was worse.
He was not good.
And just all areas of the ice, too. I thought he was so bad. But with the miscommunication, Girard just didn't look good at all. And, and I'm just kind of sitting here. I'm like, okay, well,
he just played three great games.
Yeah, but. And so I'm not going to be like, Sam, but it was like,
you got to raise that floor a little bit, you know?
Like the bad, the this has to be more of an uncommon thing than what we've seen to start the season.
Yep.
These types of nights need to start getting put in the rearview mirror. And obviously it helps if they have Byram. And
of course.
But at the same time, like, Sam Girard makes $5 million. Like, he's relied upon heavily by that coaching staff to play well. And he just... It's been very up and down. Tonight was another down game. And
as long as he ends up with, you know, and it's got to be, you know, significant, but as long as he ends up with more good games than he does bad, you can live with a performance from Sam Girard like tonight. Especially because they, you know, if that goal ends up coming back to haunt them and they lose tonight, then it's, you know, you're looking at Sam Girard like, bro, you have got to be better. It's been weird to watch him this year.
And during the regular season, you're looking at this team and going, they can get away with that.
Yeah.
They have Makar. They have Taves. Yeah. They have Kemper backing them up. They don't need everyone to all-star it on every night. But for a team that realistically everything they're doing is preparing for the playoffs this year, you know that's not going to fly in the playoffs. You know you can't get away with performances that low.
Well, and I don't think it's any coincidence that when Sam Girard plays well, the Avs kick ass. And that when Sam Girard struggles... they struggle because he's such a huge part to their complementary defense that I
got some in my teeth, Chad. I'm sorry. I've been like tongue in my teeth.
Honestly, the number of times that his wife asks that question. So. but like, I don't think it's a coincidence that when Girard struggles, that the Avs struggle. He's such a huge part of their puck moving identity on defense. Like, Taves and Makar rolling along, they're doing fine. You're feeling okay, this is fine, this works. But then when Girard isn't going, like, it just, everything just seems to be so much worse. And then when EJ is also having one of those nights where you're just like, because EJ's bad nights in his whole career, Eric Johnson's bad nights have always been so bad that they are just like, we're talking like bottom tier, like
aberrations,
oh my
of hockey games.
God, dude. Like, when he's having a bad day, he makes that shit count. It's the worst. So it's just,
get it all out of your system.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's so bad when they're both bad, you know, that it's not 100% them.
Of course not.
There's a team out there that's forcing mistakes. It's putting pressure on them. It's capitalizing on mistakes. But the Canucks aren't any good, man. Yeah. And for the Avs to have kind of just olayed this game away after they were up a whopping 1-0. Like, they dominated the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yep.
And could have been up 4-0. Like, they dominated. Great. You're only up 1-0.
Yep.
You have 15 minutes to go. And they just did not, they just weren't great. Like, they got bailed out by special teams last night. Vancouver's PK is horrible. And the Avs were like, don't mind if we do. And that's after they just gave the 5-on-3 that became 4-on-3.
Yeah.
That really just shouldn't have existed in the first place. Like, it was just brutal, man. I mean, like, their power play saved them in this game.
It did.
Their ability to score with the man advantage, the little breaks saved them in this game. And then Darcy Kemper being fantastic.
Yeah.
Because they at 5v5, they didn't play a game that they deserve to win.
Especially in the second, they laid a turd on the ice.
I mean, it starts, if you go and you look at starts halfway through the first period, where they just start getting caved in, just turns into a straight line, and you're just like, huh, they just didn't push back at all.
And you had to expect that a little bit from Vancouver, right? Like, we talked about it so much earlier. Vancouver had a lot on the line tonight. All jokes aside, you know, we're making the jokes about Quinn Hughes. He seriously might have cost Travis Green a job tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
And so honestly, this is kind of what I expected out of tonight. Said if the Avs are going to win, they're going to have to fucking go out there and scrape out a win. That's exactly what they did. And again, AJ just said it three times, but Darcy Kuemper did exactly what you brought Darcy Kuemper in to do tonight. You didn't have your best game. He kept you in it. And then it was actually nice to finally see them have their special teams make a difference, because it was almost non-existent for the first 10 games of the season.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit more.
941 for Kuemper tonight.
Yeah,
Pretty solid.
I just saw it on the screen a second ago, so yeah.
We'll talk about the second period more, too. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Got myself an Avalanche right here. You can get yourself some 8 different kinds on tap down at the bar. Ooh. Or, of course, find it at a local liquor store near you. Either way, works very, very well. You can get their Good Company hard seltzer, too. If seltzer's more your type of thing, those are absolutely delicious. Check them out. If you're local, you also can go down to their actual Breckenridge Brewery and hit them up there, because
beautiful
that place
facility.
Is dope. Yeah.
Dude, the farmhouse is so nice.
It's awesome.
So
I used to live real close there, and it was we'd always just go down there for literally a drink. It's just dope.
I love going down there and like sitting out on that back patio, it's like 65 out. The sun is just going down.
Get that up to like 75, 80.
It's so nice. Like you just sit out on that patio as it disappears, as the sun goes down. You're just hanging out. It's very peaceful.
So hit that up. Also hit up DraftKings Sportsbook. A lot of us made some good money tonight on DraftKings. I hit my Kale Anytime score. I think you hit all your bets, basically.
I needed Berkey to score, and then I would have gone across the board, but yeah.
Blaze hit pretty much everything tonight, I think.
Well, I had Berkey to have a point.
So don't bet on Berkey is what we learned, I guess. But everything else was hitting. Even AJ hit a bet or two, I'm pretty sure.
I actually didn't check. I forgot all about it.
Let's assume you did, then. You didn't hit the 3-0, but
yeah, I hit the Chicago Seattle bet.
Well, that's the one that counts.
Yeah, I
called the game score as well too. I just wanted to.
did you make that bet?
No, huh? He didn't.
No, I should have.
But he did say 4-2.
So, worked out pretty well. You can hit up DraftKings. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account right now. When you bet on any football game, if the team you bet on scores points, you turn that $1 into $100 in free bets. So go do that with the DNVR code. Get yourself $100 to play with. Have some fun bets on Avs, Nuggets, Broncos, whatever you want to bet on. Darts, pool. I know, Jesse, you were betting on ping pong.
Ping pong. I hit the over on a ping pong match a few nights ago.
So whatever you want, you can get it at DraftKings. Head on over there. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. DraftKings is an official betting partner of the NFL. And, of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by that DraftKings Sportsbook. And second period of the game. Yes. You can expect a team that got beat for a good chunk of the first period to come out with some jump in the second period. And I think we saw that from Vancouver. But that's still kind of a concerning period for the Avs, isn't it? To get...
You mean that period specifically or the second period, just in general?
In general, for this game.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, I guess, is what you're saying. Yeah.
How do you want to frame it? Because I think how you frame it depends... indicative of how you feel about it.
So,
because if you frame it as this is a desperate team that knows that its season, its organization is on the line, they're on home ice.
Sure.
Their fan base is restless and booed them off the ice after the first period. Like, if you frame it that way, then you don't feel as bad about it for the Avs. If you frame it from a Colorado perspective of they were dominating this game and then got dominated for 25 minutes straight, then that's not great. 25, 35, 40 minutes straight. I mean, they got dominated for a while there.
Here's
then you feel before the tying goal that made it 2-2, you're feeling like shit about how they've played. So I think that the framing of this probably is where you land, right?
Yeah. And look, there's going to be multiple factors to it, but the way I came at it is kind of the same way as we were talking during the game. They're going through the first 5 minutes of the second period.
It's vodka Pepto.
Vodka Pepto, AJ's drinking over here, confirmed.
It is not.
They take their own, the Avs take that penalty. And I said, look, if they kill this, you can start to turn the momentum around. You'll be all right.
Well, and Vancouver getting into the game was reliant on a bullshit penalty on Abe Kubel to begin with.
It was, unfortunately. But I'm looking for the turning point for the Avs because it cannot continue whether a team has their season on the line or not. You can't just say, oh, let's get to the buzzer and get out of this period to survive against a team. You have to be able to stop the waves a little bit and get something going the other way, where it felt like the Avs just couldn't in the second period.
This was a – I'm going to take the ultimate optimistic approach to what you're saying here. To me, you can take it as – it was good that they – this was a bend and didn't break second period. And what we've seen this entire season is they break. They get caved in, and then they give up the bad goal. They give up, you know, Darcy Kemper bailed him out tonight, but they give up the 2-on-1 late in the second period, and then you go into the third period chasing. So you can look at it from that perspective and say, well, hey, you bent, you didn't break, and you gave yourself an opportunity to recapture that momentum going into the third. Doesn't mean I disagree with you at all of, hey, this needs to stop happening so frequently, because we saw very little of this over the last two seasons, where they would just, it starts going downhill and they can't stop it. But they won, so I'm going to go with the overly optimistic Homer view on it of you didn't have it slide out of control like we've seen it happen a half dozen times.
Yeah, but they are, Vancouver's a bad team, right? And, you're hoping that the Avs can oppose their will on a team like that. And when they come out in the second period and they're basically puck watching, I mean, there's no effort.
Mikko Rantanen and Cale Makar $18 million for if those guys can't stop the bleeding for you.
Well, I think they had 4 points between the two of them tonight.
So, great. Their third period ended up very sexy. Yeah. Wonderful for them.
But against a good team.
There's a whole lot of game before that where they didn't do much. And had Mikko gets the goal on in the first period. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But 5v5 is where
Mikko was 80% of your game gets played. 5v5. He made some nice defensive plays. But offensively, Mikko didn't do a ton.
But you're also seeing Mikko Rantanen playing center, so it's not.
It's a bit of an adventure.
You're seeing you don't just make that transition. Wings don't just turn into centers because they get dropped into the center of the ice. It is tough sledding. The responsibilities are much different.
You're responsible for a lot more ice.
Yeah, they're taking on
and
a lot
more defensive side of the
so park. It's there's a lot that goes into Mikko especially, but Cale Makar's not being asked to do anything different. Where's the superstar moment from Cale Makar that helps stop some of that bleeding? You got it in the third period.
Yeah,
he gets the game winning goal.
Yeah,
I'm aware that these things eventually happened, but if Darcy Kemper doesn't get them out of that, and this is why you pay a goaltender.
Right. I was going to say.
This is why you invested in Darcy Kemper and didn't go out and dick around with Martin Jones or whatever in free agency, you know?
Right.
This is why you went big in that market and tried to get a guy that you believed would be that difference maker in net. And tonight, he was that guy.
Yeah, because
he was that guy that that got them through this game. This is the Darcy Kemper game. The first.
Yep.
Like, true, like, it was happening in Columbus, and then they sort of fell apart late. But, like, this is the first one where you go and you look at his last five games, he's been awesome. But the Avs have given him goal support in those games. This is the first game that they won a third period and won a game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. And I'm not taking anything away from Kemper. He played great, deserved the win. That second goal was not good.
but I mean, hold on. So here's
pinballs
my thing.
Around off him, goes in behind him. He God. Knocks it in himself.
Yeah, you're
basically
right.
Push it in.
He pushes it in with his glove. Yeah.
Here's my thing with a lot of this conversation right now, though. Like, you're going to have these types of nights.
Sure.
Yeah. It feels a little bit worse, and it feels a little bit amplified because of the slow start. But, like, what are they now? 5-1-1 in their last seven?
Something like that.
And so it's like the tide is starting to turn a bit here. You're going to have a night. AJ just put it perfectly. You're going to have nights where your goalie steals one for you. Sure. And that's why, as a true cup contender, you have to invest in that. And that, to me, was like what tonight was. I said it earlier. This is exactly how I expected this game to go. You were playing. Vancouver's not a good team. There are some world-class players on that team.
Where?
I mean, up until these last 15 games. Don't look at me like that. Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, but he's...
Brock Besser.
If you're a world-class player and you're not playing like a world-class player, you're not a world-class player that night.
So, as I was saying, they have really good players on this team. Like,
that's how it is.
And these are still professional NHL hockey players that had something to play for. Again, they were begging all night for a reason to give up, and they came out with too much jump to give themselves that excuse in the second period. So it's like you're going to have nights like this where the St. Louis Blues lost to the Arizona Coyotes last night.
Well, that's because the Coyotes are better than the Blues. So let's move on.
That is a take I agree with.
Jordan Binnington sucks.
Jordan Binnington does suck.
Do you want Jordan Binnington or Darcy Kemper?
I mean. I want a lot of people over Jordan Binnington.
Yeah. Well, so Darcy Kemper's last five games. He said he had a 941 tonight.
Yep.
941, 933, 955, 927, 967.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Those are pretty good numbers.
You go 4-1 in that stretch.
Yeah. Yep.
You won't do it.
I don't know, man.
I forgot she was listening.
I said it because I knew she was.
She is freed from the shackles of writing her paper.
She's lost.
She might beat your ass.
She's lost in the sauce for she sure won't. Right so, now. She's ready.
Wow. You won't.
If we can get that on DraftKings, yeah.
Put money on Night Hawk.
I'm taking her.
Well, I would just say, like, against a bad team, you get away with it. If you're playing a team like, you know, one of the best teams in the league right now, the Panthers.
This is one of the funniest things about the NHL, though, is that it's like, if this game was against a different opponent different city, in a totally different situation, but the game somehow played out exactly the same, they wouldn't get away with this.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like, right. That's my hypothetical. I'm sticking by it.
But look, if the Avs and Panthers are playing in Vancouver one night, I've got a lot of questions.
That's a great point, too, because, like, you know, from the standpoint of, like, bringing out your best game when you're playing a team that, you know, a few nights ago you stomped into the ground, right? Yeah. It's easy to just kind of...
Well, and then got out to an early...
Yeah,
and then kind of like, all right, dominating them again.
Yeah,
and
we got this.
This is the thing that I think we've seen from this team, though, this year, is that they have gotten a little fat and happy with themselves at times in-game.
Yep. Yeah.
Because we talk about the Columbus disaster of a week. Do you guys remember they had a 2-0 lead in the first...
They should have won both of those games. Like, yeah. And so maybe there's a positive way to look at this, right? It's a baby step. It's not... They didn't figure out how to prevent getting dunked on for a while in the second period.
Yeah.
But when it came down to it, they flipped the switch and they did the job they had to do in the third period to win a hockey game.
Well, and kind of. Like,
I mean, they got help, but they did the job.
Right. Like, they took advantage of the opportunities given to them, but they started that third period and gave up a goal immediately.
Yeah. It felt a little bit like, is this happening again? But then... Vancouver is bad, and the Avs are good enough to take advantage of that bad.
Yeah, and that's where I guess if you're purely that bottom line person who's like, I only care about the end result.
Well, then the Avs have won three games in a row.
Then they've won. They're on a winning streak, and you know what? Darcy Kemper has turned the corner as an Av, and They're finding a way to do this without Nathan MacKinnon. They're 3-0 without Nathan MacKinnon.
And
we talked about them. Can they play 500 hockey, regardless of what the schedule was? Can they be 500 until Nathan MacKinnon gets back? Right now, they're 3-0.
JT Compher's out as well.
Oh, I was going to say, this is the other thing to keep in mind here. Sorry.
Go.
No, I didn't want to. You were in the middle of finger counting.
Let's go. Let's go. Byram's out as well. I'm just saying the Avs aren't the picture of health right now.
I was going to say, that is something else to keep in mind with all this. You have Kiefer Sherwood, Jason Megna, yeah. Nicholas Abe-Kubel, all playing like regular shifts in your lineup right now. You have to expect that you are going to have some shifts where you get stuck in your zone.
Yeah, well, and we saw like Jason Megna, Kiefer Sherwood. We've been talking about like, hey, they've been getting by with this. They've been,
didn't have a great night tonight.
Didn't get by with it tonight. Yeah. Tonight, those guys got taken advantage of.
Yep.
Yep. So,
you know, and then you look at Nicholas Abe-Kubel. Like, this guy was just claimed off waivers for a reason.
Yeah.
He was on waivers for a reason, and tonight we saw it. He took a totally avoidable penalty and totally unnecessary.
Even if it was horseshit.
We all thought it was soft and garbagey, and it changed the course of the game because Vancouver, they didn't score on that power play, but they used – that took them out of their own end, which is where they had spent the entire game up to that point. And they got out of their own end, and then that game – the game flipped on that. And with Abe-Kubel, I mean, you're talking about you have legitimate, like, low-end – NHL talent at the bottom of this Colorado forward core right now, where you're trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
You've got Logan O'Connor on your first line, which no surprise. Like,
we'll get to that.
I've loved LOC, but come on. Like, tonight was like, this. Here's your course correction where you get to see, against top competition. Well, these guys, the life is way harder against really good players on the other side. I'm not going against the bottom of the barrel of a bad NHL team. I'm going up against what the best of what they have to offer. This is much harder for me.
But I thought you said the best Vancouver had to offer isn't good.
Yeah, well, they haven't played very well. Elias Pettersson hasn't.
I'm just kidding, shit.
He hasn't.
Ooh. Tough guy out there. Is that Quinn Hughes driving by?
Well, and that, I think, actually, really quickly, Jesse, to what you were saying about, you're right. Vancouver's top line isn't that amazing right now, and a Logan O'Connor still really couldn't hang.
So, real quick,
just
because it was actually asked, I believe, on Monday about Francouz, and Bednard gave a really interesting answer. He said he's being reevaluated, and that they've decided to give him some time away from the
rink. That dude's having another surgery.
They're not going to get any games.
They're
going to
get zero games out of that contract.
In a 2-year contract. And I just thought that was
preseason games.
Really interesting that he said he's being reevaluated. We had him around here for a few weeks trying to get back on the ice. We've decided to give him a few days away from the rink. So just as a real quick update, and obviously getting back to the game now, but that is kind of the latest on Francouz. I wanted to touch on the Abe-Kubel penalty because that was another one that we were talking about as we were watching it. Yeah, I think we all agreed it was kind of soft, but when you are coming in off of a waiver claim with the, I can't think of the word that I want to use here, but like, when everyone talks about the fact that this guy had penalty issues, he gets himself in penalty trouble.
Yeah, if you have a rep, you can't play
right.
He did have three hits, though.
So he was this close. We said three hits and don't take any penalties. So close. Reputation was the word I was looking for.
That's so stupid.
But, you know, of coming in and taking penalties, even when it's something soft like that, like you just...
That whole line was flat.
I mean, we've said it four or five times now. He said he was miscast in Philly.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same thing he does in Philly right now.
Pretty appropriately cast tonight.
Yeah, well, right now, Alain Vigneault is like, we thought you were an NHL player, so you're right. You were miscast. And one game in, Philly's like, we good.
Yeah. Keep him.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to our super chats here. I know we have a few. Yeah.
Yep.
We nailed that one. We knew it was coming. Yeah. Next, thank you. It says, I'll say it again for the people in the back. Quinn who's? Tonight it's Quinn lose, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
Quinn losing his friend's jobs.
Super sticker. P-
pear character flying in the air with a red cape and a smile on his face.
Thank
Rudo,
you,
Rudo, Sasha. Remembering our agreement.
Yeah, I got it this time.
Thank you for the $20. It's extremely generous, Justin. Yeah. Victory shots. I can't do it. I can't.
Let's go. Yeah, you got to do it.
It's Wednesday.
It's
chat. I had a wedding on Monday.
Oh, dude. Oh, look at that. They're already poured and everything.
Who poured those?
I'm behind the scenes all the time. I want to talk
to
them.
Where did these come from?
Oh, you touched that one.
I'm complaining about the size of the pour.
That one looks so high. You see how tall that one is?
This is like two shots far.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, dude, I don't have anything to drink this with.
Yeah, it's rough. It's hard to drink.
I gotta be in the airport in like 5 hours. I ain't gonna be drinking this.
Hey, it's fun.
Will you get? Really, I gotta drive home and get to the airport.
Can you
get
me like a cup of water to chase this or something?
Can I have literally anything to go with this? this.
We'll wait for the shot.
Yeah, yeah. Give us. Let me prepare a little bit.
What? What is this shot?
It's
No.
Yeah, that's like two shots straight up.
Is mine better for you?
No, that's even more full. I'm going to take what I can take out of this, and Yahir has to take the rest.
We're all, like, dreading
Jesus.
This.
Yeah, normally victory shots are fun. I was just normally victory shots are fruity and delicious and don't
I was fine
hit you like a truck. And, like, this is a problem. It's Wednesday night. I don't feel great. My back is killing me. I'm clearly not
this is a triple.
About
this,
any of this.
This will help with
and
your back.
And this thing is like...
is this
look,
what...
I complained about it on the 1,000th episode. Shot glasses of this size...
Yeah, they're bad.
It's fine. It's fine when it's fruity and harmless.
Right.
I'm
good.
I don't need one of those.
Thank you.
Give me his.
I got a beer.
This is a problem, man.
Yeah. What? We're showing the true color.
I feel like this
for all the times that we get accused of being drunk.
Right. We're like, oh, please don't.
Now we have to drink real alcohol, and we're all just like, no. Blaze is like, fuck this. I've got four kids.
Yeah, let's go.
This is freedom, baby. And the rest of us are just not into
it. Is this the real nice shit?
Yeah, this is the nice stuff.
It doesn't burn.
It's still whiskey, though.
It doesn't burn, he says.
It's still whiskey.
Cheers,
God,
boy.
I feel like Sam Gerard with an open lane
really
right now.
I wish they'd lost.
Really don't want to do this shot.
Okay.
Here we go.
That's so much more than a shot.
Oh, good God.
I'll try to fill up all the way up just to be me, but... How is that different from what you did?
Oh, my God.
They were halfway filled up. That's some good whiskey.
That was not worth the $20 super chat. All right, we got one more.
Oh, I thought you meant another.
No.
Another round.
Let's go.
No.
I quit.
No, Blaze can have them all.
Yeah.
So good.
For real, though. Shout out to Evan.
Yes.
Keep your kid in your thoughts and stuff.
I was going to do this tomorrow, but yeah. Definitely everybody keep little Cora in everybody's thoughts.
Yeah.
She goes through her third hip surgery tomorrow, and it's going to be a tough 6 weeks, so we're going to miss Evan a lot, but
you always got to take
family
care
comes
of your
first. Absolutely. When he first told me about it, I was like, bro.
Go do what you got to do.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about, man? No.
Yeah.
You gotta take care of the fam, and so we're gonna keep them in mind as we go through the week, and you know, tomorrow's the big day, and you always hope that things go well. So surgery's always scary, so
Alright. Worst decision.
You know, genuinely, that was the shot itself. That's actually pretty good stuff.
It's really good whiskey.
Yeah, I bet, but I'm
it's still a Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, catch me on Saturday. When I'm a lot more
or
amenable.
Or Friday.
Or with an appropriate size shot.
Also, right. Would it be helpful?
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'll take yours on Friday since you're not going to be here.
You know what? Yeah. You're going to be in Seattle doing your thing. It's going to be all good and well. And when they get shut out by Grubauer, I'm going to want to get blackout drunk.
All right.
Kevin's going to be out in Seattle. I think we'll get drinks with him after the game. So... I'll also be doing
well. If booze isn't your thing,
at least somebody's real.
Maybe you can check out Strava Craft Coffee. Get yourself some CBD infused coffee. Can help with aches and pains like AJ's back pain, perhaps. AJ might need strong drugs for that. Who knows?
Yeah, which you can't mix with whiskey.
Yeah, true. But Strava is your morning coffee. It's like your Advil too. It helps with migraines, joint pain, other aches and pains all over the place. So check it out. You get 25% off when you use code DNVR25 for your first purchase with them. Then check out Hassle Cattle Company. Nighthawk's drunk in the chat, so I'm sure she'll have some story about some Hassle meat that she made look delicious. You can get the Wagyu beef burgers down here at the bar, which everybody loves.
Right by it.
You can also get the
just keep going.
Get the rest of the meat hooked up as well. There's no Manscaped for you tonight, chat, so you're fine.
Oh.
There is, however, a read for snooze sleep. As AJ's can't handle it. AJ, have you got your bed's not here yet, right? All right, well.
This is why I have a busted back and I'm not sleeping.
AJ's having a
a
breakdown over here.
Chad is killing me, man. I just, for whatever reason, just hit my funny bone that they all that they are abused, that I am miserable, and I just think that's so fucking funny.
If you want to sleep more than AJ has clearly slept in the past little while, get Snooze Sleep. Get their 4-in-1 mattress. They got firm, soft, hot, cold, however you want to do it. You can get it all set up. They'll ship it directly to you. Local here in Denver as well. So check them out. Yeah.
That read's gotten a lot better. At least you didn't say hard.
Yeah.
It's the same.
You want a hard mattress?
Do we want hard with the nonsense?
Hard is harder than soft. Like, it's still correct.
Well, that wasn't ever what was in question. Is yeah, hard harder than soft?
You can get the flaccid
mattress. Yeah.
That
was
funny. Okay.
Could you just imagine, like, we did this. I'm just going to blow right past it.
The third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
You know, that schedule didn't look so easy anymore with Anaheim.
Dude, they are on fire. Yeah,
well, John Gibson and Troy Terry just can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Denver, for now. Eventually they will be stopped, and then it'll be everybody will be like, "Oh right, Ducks."
But it's Denver native.
The Avs won't play a goalie that Troy Terry just puts the puck on his backhand and scores on automatically. Hopefully, so.
God. Did you guys see that Zegras overtime winner last night? 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Dude. Trevor Zegras was one of the most interesting draft prospects I've ever watched. Just looking back on it, because he was so exciting, like. And the things that he did, you're just like, holy shit, this kid is insane. But he was doing it on, like, a second line in the USHL. Yeah. And you're also like, this shit doesn't work in the NHL. What if this is going to translate? And then he goes to BU.
Keeps doing the insane nonsense.
And it all still works. And you're like, it's going to stop. And then he goes to the AHL, and it works just fine. And then he gets up to the NHL, and it's just kind of like, it's like, okay. But then he ends up on a highlight all the time. You know, the coaches don't use him in the final 10 minutes of games.
Yeah.
But he scored all of his points in his first 50 minutes, so it didn't matter. And he's a fascinating watch. Yeah.
He's fun to watch.
Trevor Zegras is a truly interesting case.
So let's reel this one back in.
I don't even know if Grubauer's going to play on
to the Avs. We can get to all that. But our king of the game tonight.
Ooh.
At this point, do we just call him Nazem 3-point Kadri or what?
Dude,
on fire. That's
he hasn't had to do heavy lifting like this since he was in Toronto.
Yeah, agreed.
During their like
when he was 1C.
Yeah, exactly. And to see like the all-around effort here. You're like,
on both ends.
Well, do you remember how bad he was last year?
Mm-hmm.
He would get the puck and there was no confidence and nothing would happen and he would either turn it over or he would throw it into traffic and it would go the other way. And then he would just lazily skate back as the 2-on-1 developed because he just wasn't going to get back. And like, it was so and now you look at him tonight, he puts up 3 points. And then in the final 2 minutes of the game, he's out there and he's not winning the faceoffs, but they weren't like clean, like easy win, set it up, and then do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, he was at least competitive enough on him that it was fine. But the real work, like, he's diving and
slapping pucks out of the zone
on back checks.
Exactly,
like he's
throwing in all that effort, and you're just like, dude, how do you not love this? And he's done such a good job of walking the line of discipline this year.
He's still putting the hits down.
Yeah, because I don't know which Canucks player it was.
Yeah,
but he smoked somebody behind the net tonight.
Yes, he did.
Where he just went in like a freight train, and that guy got the puck and he moved it, and he knew Kadri was coming, and Kadri just plowed over him and then turned around and skated up the ice, and everybody was good with what happened. But it was like he's still bringing that element. He's still attacking like that, and to see all of that, and then obviously the 3 points. You're just like, bruh.
Well, he just keeps doing it, right? Like, you keep, not necessarily, like, waiting, but he's a 7-game point streak, and these are, like, multi-point games. And you just keep waiting for him to have the off night or whatever, but he's doing it every single night.
To be fair, one of his assists tonight was a face-off that came 20 seconds before the goal.
Yeah. We were laughing about it when it happened.
Here's my thing with that, though. Whatever. If that dude doesn't win that puck to get it back to the blue line, we're all just roasting him. You got to win a battle. You got to get set up, blah, blah, blah.
But that's our issues with the scorekeeper, not...
it's
because he wins the face-off and then Taves and Makar
go back and forth three times.
There's a solid 10-ish seconds. And Kadri hasn't touched the puck now, and we're going on like 10 to 15 seconds. And they score a clean goal, and it's really like this is two guys involved. And they give the Kadri assist, and you're just like, that shit is free. Like, you want to know why... When people are doing statistical analysis that they call secondary assists noise?
That's why.
That's why.
I used to do that shit all the time growing up. Like, someone would leave a puck, and I'd be skating by. Puck wasn't for me, but I would just, like,
touch
just
it. Give it
a
little
bit, like, second assist, if anyone's looking for it.
I was just more surprised that they didn't, like, whistle that dead because Kadri won the face-off.
He took the one penalty in the face-off, off the face-off, I guess, not in the face-off.
Yeah, where he stood there and JT Miller skates into him,
yeah.
And well, they were like, we have to call something because this dude just got called for tripping that didn't exist.
Yeah, and JT Miller did a good job of selling that. He kept his feet moving.
Well,
and
he just skates into Kadri's chest. And Kadri's just putting his arms up.
Kadri's like, I'm allowed to stand here.
Yeah, and he's like he's literally, he is allowed to that space. Just because JT Miller wants to go around him doesn't mean Nazem Kadri has to move.
Yeah.
JT Miller needs to fucking move. He needs to move around him. It's such bullshit.
Well, and how many times?
That he gets called for that because he's literally like an NFL referee saying a field goal is good. He's standing there. And JT Miller just, like, skates into him.
Well, how many times have we seen that on a power play now?
And you run the pick play. Every team has a set pick play.
I was even going to say that Cale Makar drops that puck for McKinnon, and then he turns around to face McKinnon, and he, like, bumps into someone, and they'll call him for interference, and it's like...
It's so inconsistent.
He's entitled to that ice as well, you know?
Well, and what's funny is when you see that stuff called, and then you watch any NHL game. And then watch a zone entry on a power play and watch how teams just mug dudes.
Yep.
The puck gets to center ice and defenders just start.
The blue line is a war zone.
Assaulting people. And it's totally fine.
Someone just put on the chat they saw JT Miller at a bar in Vail. Blaze, I think, maybe had the best random NHL player signing story that I've ever heard that he told us during the game. I don't know if you want to tell. I'll tell it if you don't want to because it's hilarious.
Go for it.
But we were talking about Phil Kessel and what a great Av he's going to be. Blaze goes,
This is inevitable.
I actually saw Phil Kessel at a burrito stand outside the Ritz.
Yeah,
and I said, hey, Phil. And he goes, Phil tells me... best burrito in town. And we were like, oh, nice. Like in Pittsburgh, whatever. He goes, nope, they were just in town for a road trip.
Game day.
It was game day. It was the morning of game day. He was getting a breakfast burrito from the street vendor outside of the Ritz Hotel in downtown Denver.
I hope somebody legitimately goes there because of this interaction.
It's just the fact that Phil Kessel knows who the best burrito street vendor is in Denver.
I asked my follow-up question to Blaze, was this in Denver? Yeah. And I was like, he's ready. He's already got a burrito place. What is he doing in Arizona, guys? Come on. I grew up, Tyler Myers is from Katy, Texas. So that's my favorite fun fact because nobody knows that. Yeah. All the NFL players that have come out of Katy, Texas, and Tyler Myers is in the NHL.
Yeah, dude, that...
He was big even then, too.
Blaze had me howling with that one. All
right. I've got some more, but
yeah,
we'll keep them for another day.
Yeah, when your uncle's here for the induction into the hall.
Yeah, I'm going to the dinner. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, he should just, while he's here, he should come down on the show.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll have storytelling.
Yeah. Out. Yeah, he'll tell some awfully embarrassing stories about me as well.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Let's bring back those shots.
Okay. End of the night. Avs win 4-2. They move to 7-5-1.
Remember where they were 4-5-1 and the sky had fallen because they lost to Columbus twice?
I think what I said in my video that night was, things aren't done, but time is up. After game 10, it was time for the Avs to show up and start winning hockey games, and that's exactly what they did. So
three in a row. No Nathan McKinnon. They're on a winning streak, and look, you're going in, you're playing a bad Seattle team that's not gotten good goaltending out of Phil Grubauer. I keep joking that he's going to shut him out, but
dude, I don't even know if it's going to, he's played poorly enough that I don't even know if it's going to be him on Friday.
He's been really, really bad. And
three goals on 18 shots tonight.
Seattle's just not very good right now. And they're having trouble finishing. So you want to see Darcy Kuemper outplay Phil Grubauer. You need to kick teams when they're down. You're not the launch pad for them to fix their problems.
Yeah.
And the Avs came very close to being just that tonight.
For Vancouver. Yeah.
You got out of Dodge with the W. You're happy with it. You need to find ways to win when you're not playing 100%.
Yep.
You're not getting anything from a guy like Andrei Burakovsky, which is really starting to be a problem for me personally. And it's mostly because he's just playing so soft.
Yep.
And so lazy. That I'm like, bro, you know you're in a contract year. You see how you're supposed to handle a contract year? Look at your line mate.
Yeah.
Kadri's going insane. Yeah.
That guy is setting himself up for a payday where the Avs are like, we're not even making that phone call, bro. And you're doing what? Setting yourself up for a 1-year, $4 million deal right now? Wake the fuck up,
You need to
step it up, man. The Avs, Andrei Burakovsky is too important. He needs to figure it out. He needs to play with some purpose because right now he's a matador, and it's just not good enough. You cannot be like that in the NHL. And if you're going to be an important part that they try and sign you to and build around you for the next few years, dude, this has to stop.
I would love to see him score 30 goals before he gets out of here.
Well, that's, I mean, it's one of those things with Berkey, right? Where if his production is there, you live a little bit with a little bit of the softness.
Totally. But, because you're asking him to produce.
But the production isn't there.
There's nothing there, man.
Look, he's got, here's my issue with it. He has an elite skill set.
Yeah.
He has something that is truly elite in the NHL in terms of his wrist shot, his release, his ability. We're just talking about Phil Kessel. He's got that Phil Kessel ability where you can get an easy goal.
Yeah.
And he can just
beat a goalie.
Right. Yeah. And we saw it tonight. I think all four of us simultaneously yelled. He walked in, cocked back to shoot, and then made a bad pass. And it's shoot! That is your best tool by a mile.
When we saw
shoot!
He missed the net on multiple occasions. And I remember when they first got him and being so annoyed in the preseason because nothing was on net. And he was just clearing the zone over and over and over. He's just missing the net. And it's he needs to shoot his way out of this.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to live with some of that. But oh my gosh, man, he's got to figure that out. He's too, with no Nathan McKinnon and Valanciunas is just not a top six player.
Yep.
He's just not skilled enough to consistently produce in that area.
Burakovsky can't afford to defer opportunities.
Dude, Nazem Kadri is not going to get 3 points every night. Your power play is not going to score 3 goals.
You keep saying that.
It's just not, it's going to stop, man.
I know.
It's going to stop. He's not Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. It's going to stop. He's too important, and I just think, you know, dude, you're happy about tonight. You winning is the point. Yeah. So ultimately, you're good. They've won three in a row. They won a dirty game. They won a gritty third period.
Yep.
They won one where they had to skate through some quicksand tonight. They had to battle uphill a little bit in the second half of the game. All that is great. Darcy Kuemper has his first signature Avalanche game. Great. All of this is good. But there's still, you're still working through it a little bit. Yep. You're still trying to figure it out. Your bottom six is still not giving you a goddamn
pretty much ball. Nothing tonight.
Brutal tonight.
So, you know, this is turning into a problem. You know, just that group in general is just
asterisk
doing
because
so
of
little.
Who's in that bottom six right now.
Sure, but I mean, you're not that. It's not changing anytime soon.
Yeah,
so there's gotta be like
for sure.
It's really like Tyson Jost and
yeah.
Alex
yep.
Newhook.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. 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 Yep.
When look, when LOC got put there, all three guys magically looked so much better when they were together than yeah. when they were in their original alignment.
I really like that combination.
Yeah. Like, but well, and it leaves you with the problem of what do you do?
I mean, this ties perfectly back into the Berkey thing. They tried it a little bit in the third period
right,
tonight. Nothing. You get Berkey going though, and all of a sudden, maybe you throw him up on the top line. Kadri, you literally just look at him and go, keep playing hockey.
Well,
thanks.
There's been so many times over the last couple of years where everybody has openly advocated for put Berkey on that top line, move Landy down, da-da-da-da-da, because he's performed at that level before.
I've never liked it. Just for the record.
Well, but you can see the potential sure. there, right? You've got that yeah. that high level finisher and stuff like that.
You have that in Mikko.
But I actually agree with you fully because it's like he just doesn't do it consistently.
You still have to even on that top line. You have to have that grit guy, the sandpaper guy.
Yeah,
that's
well, I mean, you,
and that's
that
what
line.
Makes
you just,
that line
dude,
so.
We
good.
We talked about this 2 weeks ago, where I said all of so much of winning in the NHL is winning battles. And you just don't do it by playing soft and not physical and not gritty hockey. You have to be, you have to have sandpaper. That element just has to exist. You can have all the skill in the world, but you have to work hard in order to access it.
Absolutely.
And this is what makes a guy like Phil Kessel fun and interesting. A guy like Trevor Zegras fun and they're not going to do that shit.
Right.
No. You know, Andrei Burakovsky's not going to do that shit. But when you get an opportunity to do the one thing that you do well, and I understand I just said doo-doo.
I didn't even pick up on it until you said it.
But you gotta finish. You gotta capitalize. And Berkey, there's a lot of dead behind the eyes right now.
And people take...
So somebody needs to wake him up a little bit.
People take...
Defib his season.
Grit and sandpaper... And they kind of give it the old like 90s, early 2000s.
No, yeah.
That is like Landy is a grit and sandpaper guy.
Brandon Saad.
Logan O'Connor, Brandon Saad. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That's like your modern day gritty
so
guy.
If when the Avs get healthy, is LOC an option for the second line to bring that? Do you have that?
No, because
Nuke is that. Is,
yeah, that's what. That's
yeah.
The,
is Kadri that
it's
guy?
The Nuke job right now. That's what the Nuke's puck retrieval, his board work, the defensive commitment, all of that is like that piece to that puzzle.
Well, and I think that's honestly why you saw, and I imagine they'll probably run it back at least to start the game on Friday. LOC with that top unit.
Well, I don't know that they do that again.
I'll bet you they will. Because to your point you just made, what other option do you have?
You keep tinkering because it just didn't.
But with what?
It just didn't.
Berkey up, LOC
you
to
can
the
put,
second.
Yeah,
throw Joe
why not?
There,
try it.
Whatever.
Try it. I mean, I think that you tried something and it didn't work.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean try it again.
I mean,
it means keep trying.
They were
something.
Clearly done with it when it hit the third period
and
they needed goals. So.
Look, maybe if they come out and they're up 3-0,
sure,
then you're like,
but...
cool, we're the Globetrotters. But and, you know, and at that point, nothing matters.
I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't at least start the game like that, because you're not going to throw Jost up there and get different results. You're not going to throw Abe Kubel up there. You're not going to break up that second unit.
They did, though.
At the end of the game.
Yeah.
I just
Burakovsky's not playing a meaningful role right now in their success. That line success Kadri's,
tonight.
Kadri's the one rolling, man. So I think
but with
Berkey, I'm just I don't know, man. I don't think Mikko's a center. I think that there's an obvious.
No,
I think
he's not. And that's kind of my point.
There's an obvious answer. They're just not going to do it, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Is it Jacob McDonald?
Putting Newhook there?
Newhook wasn't
great tonight either.
You put Alex Newhook there, and you try and just let your talent be your talent. And I understand that there are long-term concerns there, that they're trying to build him confidence. You don't do that by taking a sledgehammer to his confidence because you put him on the top line. He gets swallowed up by top defensemen.
Right.
I totally get why they're not doing it. It's fine. It's just what I would do.
That's why I'm saying I think it'll be LOC on Friday.
And that's you're looking at it as this is game 14 of the regular season, right?
Right.
If the Avs are...
Next game is game 14.
If the Avs are 5-7 instead of 7-5, chains are off. You're doing the best thing to help you win a hockey game, right?
And that was, to me, was what the third period was. And that's why I think at the start of the next game, I'll bet you're going to see an identical lineup. Unless Bo's coming back.
Well, the blender could happen at any moment.
Tonight was really the first night I feel like we saw a lot of blending going on in that third period. I feel like
tonight was the first night you feel like
it's definitely been happening.
Have you been awake for some of the other games?
Apparently not.
Like that game where they had, 18 skaters against St. Louis and the entire game was blending?
Well, yeah, you had 18 skaters.
Yeah, well, Stephen Matteau got hurt and like.
Right. I'm just saying like.
Well, there have been
no
handful,
injuries tonight.
There have been a handful.
Yeah,
of
I was gonna say no we're gonna celebrate tonight. The zero injuries.
King of the game should have been the Avs training staff
for the first game.
And conditioning coaches.
Finally, yeah. They're not under fire. I guess they That's did true. A good job tonight.
That's true.
Handling the players,
bubble wrapped them in the room.
Boom. Training staff did, and then tomorrow we'll wake up and they'll be at practice and I'll be like.
Half the team is not on the ice.
By the way, Jack Johnson's out. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Cool. But look, the Avs took home the win.
Yeah.
Shit got did tonight.
Yeah. It feels like a really negative pod, but really, like, they won. Yeah. It's just that the sausage
wasn't the best.
Yeah. It's got to get made a little bit better when you're a team that has the expectations that they do and all the caveats, blah, blah, blah. You just don't get beat up by the fucking Canucks. Yeah. But they won the game, so YOLO.
Yep. They took down the dub, and they continue marching on to victories without one of the best players in the world, without one of their top five producers this season, which is crazy to say about JT Compher, but also true, without Bowen Byram and to round out a decor that is way too talented. So it's weird because we're talking about the Avs having a little bit of lack of depth production, but when they're healthy... Their depth looks markedly better. Yeah. So, we'll see what the lineup holds for Friday in Seattle.
We got people clamoring for Eric Staal.
Okay, let's calm down.
Let's end this pod.
Yeah, that means it's time to go. We will be doing a watch-along on Friday, so if you're not in town and coming to the bar, be sure to tune in to the watch-along. Jesse will be live from Seattle. Well, not live on Twitter from Seattle.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope I'm live.
Not live video footage. That'll be us from the bar. So we got you covered from all angles.
Yeah, no, I will be in Seattle, though, so any of these, we were just joking. If injuries start cropping up at practice tomorrow, I'll be the first one to let you guys know.
So there you go. Be sure you're following Jesse on Twitter. Follow all of us or just the DNVR Avs account. We'll have all the deets. Be sure to like and subscribe to this video and here on YouTube. That helps us out a ton. I know there's a bunch of you in here. So hello. Nice to see you all, especially our regulars. We love you. New people too, though. You're cool.
Good life choice.
We don't love you, but you're cool.
Yeah.
Is how I took that.
I mean, it takes time to build up love, but you're cool means you can come back.
Yep. We didn't have to fight with any opposing fans today, so it wasn't too bad. That'll come in the playoffs. Don't worry.
All the Canucks fans are just drinking.
Yeah, they're like, don't even want to.
Feverishly tweeting at Elliot Friedman.
Is Green fired yet?
Yeah.
I'm actually
going to
check.
Okay. On that note, we are out of here for the night. Thank you again, and we will talk to you all on our show tomorrow.